Let's start from the beginning of the Gemara again, Halacha Ches, not the Mishnah, but the Gemara. Kini Mas Nisa. This is the way to read the Mishnah. Nifras, Vani, Nifras Shlo Beforav. In general, not just by Ksuva. As I told you yesterday, some people even a Goris Van Nifras Shlo Beforav. Somebody who gets a property granted to him in settlement of a debt owed him when the owner is not present, Lo Tifra Lo Beshvua, must make an oath before getting the property. Nifroim Banav Shlo Beforav asked more, is that true? Do we do collect in general from a person who owes money even if he's not around? Or maybe we would have said yes in certain instances. He bought there. In such case, Bishtar Sharibis Ochelasbo. A document which has a loan with interest. So therefore, in order to prevent the interest from eating up more, we collect even though the borrower is not present and accounted for. Ribis is based in assisting an individual collecting interest. That's, say it, Lovra Avera, right? You're helping people who are committing Averas. Depater, so we can explain, Sha'arev Lomina Goy, it's not a case where you borrow money from a Goy, and the Goy accepted that he's going to go by the rules of a Jewish court. Now, the Kiada actually is not going on this case of Ribis, but rather it's a similar case. Where do we see a case that Basin goes down to a person's property even though he's not around? Alaksa, certain Amora, it seems. Amra Raimana, Setra Raimana, other Avdin Tavus, Sagaminko, we do much better than you. Anakas bin Din Mugmarin. We write a document which says that this din has been completed. In Asa, if he comes, the borrower to make good, Tavus, fine, let him come and make good on his own. Bin Lo, if he doesn't come, Ana Machlitin Nechsaya, we give over the property from the borrower to the lender. Amrale, so Ramon responded, don't think you're so much better than we are. We also do that. We send for the lender, for the borrower, excuse me, Tlasigran 3 times. He asks if he comes, Otavus, that's good. Being low, if he doesn't come, we too, we give over the property to the lender, or whoever is owed money, whatever damages, whatever the case may be. So Alaksa responded. He said, "Hey, wait a minute," or Alcasa, however you pronounce it. He said, "Wait a minute."
The name of the mosque.
I was just thinking that. So Alcasa responded. He said, "Wait a minute. Either it was Arab, Alaksa, or it was a Spaniard, Alcasa." So he said, "Wait a minute. What if the guy's not around? Agatzmecha, Tava Basarachi. He's far away. So what are you going to do then?" I mean, if you guys, you wait till you send him 3 times, maybe he's going to be tuck in Spain. How are you going to handle it then? So Ramon explained, said, Ana Mashal Basre Tlas Igrin. We send him 3 times. Chada Gotlasin, one in for within 30 days. Chada Gotlasin, another within the next 30 days. Chada Gotlasin, another within the next 30 days. In other words, they say we don't go over 90 days. In Asa, if he comes within those 90 days, in other words, if we find him, he comes within those 90 days, Hotavus, well and good. Beloved, not on a machlit in the side, we give over the property to whoever's supposed to get it. Amr Mitzanya said, Vush Amr Bedina Baruch, it's only if he stood in judgment here and then fled. I mean, Lo Amad Bedina Ubarach, but if it's before judgment and he fled, we don't automatically sign over the property in the case of Alaksa, nor even do we give it over after 9 days. In the case of Ramana, El Machriz, we make pronouncements. In other words, now it doesn't say too well we make pronouncements. Obviously, we don't make pronouncements for the next 10 years. At some point, we have to say, well, he's not coming. We have to give the property to the lender or to the person who's damaged or whatever it is. But it doesn't give any specific time limits here. I don't know exactly when it would happen. But Machrizin, as opposed to Machlitin, Machrizin means we announce that so-and-so, there's a claim against him, and if he wants to come and defend himself, he should come and defend himself. So again, I don't know what the time frame is, but we don't do it right away if he hasn't yet stood in judgment. If he stood in judgment, we give 90 days for him to come and show up and, show cause. Otherwise, we go and we execute the judgment. Says Umare, Ashkech Esomar, you come out saying, Chanan Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Davrecha. Now, Chanan is later in the Masechta. So now we're going to have later on, it's going to say if a woman goes to Chutz Laaretz, a man goes to Chutz Laaretz, and his wife wants to be fed, it says that she don't need shvuah, she just collects mizonos, whatever she needs. And here too, Rabbi Shimon said in our Mishnah that whenever she needs, whenever she wants mizonos, if she's not the man of Ksuba, the heirs can't make her take an oath. So there later on, Chanan is talking about in her husband's lifetime for mizonos, and here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is talking about after her husband's death, but also for mizonos. So it seems that they're saying the same thing. She has to take an oath after, at the end, meaning for property she's collecting, which is not part and parcel of her mizonos, but rather stuff which she's collecting for a ksuva or such like. So too, the same thing. Can Rabbi Shimon Bar Lotish Shavah Lebasov show that it's an oath for if she wants to collect her ksuva, but not on mizonos? Kemar Atamar Aloch Chanan. Just we say Aloch is like Chanan. Aloch Aloch Rabbi Shimon that she only has to take an oath if she's collecting her ksuva, not if she's collecting mizonos. In fact, however, the Pnei Moshe brings down here that the Yerushalmi and Bavli argue about this. The Bavli Yerushalmi holds that a woman doesn't have to make a shvua on her mizonos, only on her ksuva. The Bavli holds a woman even has to make a shvua if she wants to collect money from mizonos. Okay? Okay, now, very interesting sugi here. Hotia get. A woman produces a get. Vainim ksuva. She doesn't produce a ksuva, but she says, listen, I lost my ksuva, I misplaced it, but here's the get, I'm divorced, I need my ksuva. Okay? So what do we say? Go to ksuvasa, she collects her ksuva. What about the other way around? Otsia ksuvasa, she produces a ksuva, veinim or get, and she does produce a get. Viomer's avagiti, she says, I lost my get. Now, he doesn't say I didn't divorce her. But he will marry, oh, at Shavari, I lost my receipt. Not that he didn't divorce her. He was masking me divorced her, but I lost my receipt. I paid already. So too, a Baal Chov, a creditor, produced a debt, the bill of debt. Vainim o prusbul, he doesn't have prusbul to prove that Shemitah didn't cancel it. Harei lifrus, the Tanakama says they can't collect. Right? Because a woman with the get, she has no proof that she wasn't paid her ksuva, and he claims that he did pay her ksuva. And the man with the prusbul, the man who was a creditor, he has no proof that he had a prusbul. It's just his claim. From the day, time of danger and onwards, isha govag below get, a woman can collect her ksuva without a get, because people from that time on were afraid to keep hitting. They used to get divorced and then and swallow the document. They wouldn't actually keep it around because the goyim would get upset. The goyim also were upset that Jews wrote prusbul, so people would write a prusbul and then destroy it. So therefore, same thing over there. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss in great detail, but it's interesting. I don't think I told you this. Actually, I know I didn't tell you this, but as mentioned in Shul, this I think it was this Hanukkah, that the Raga Trevor holds that after the din, after it says by Hanukkah, from the time that the goyim used to confront the Jews, so they no longer let Hanukkah candles outside; they only let Hanukkah candles inside the house. So Rogachev wrote that Mishas HaKonah means from that time on, there's no din of Pirsum Manes at all. It's only din Pirsum Limnei Beso. Not there's no din Pirsum Manes to outside the house. And he discussed this actually is discussed in terms of context of whether Bismanis has any mitzvah actually to light outside the house, which in Chutzos we don't do. It's really only Minig Yushalayim, but it's not anywhere else is it done, really. So in any case, so the Rogachar wants to Taina that Misha Sakona means even after the Sakona went away, whatever Takona they made at the time of the Sakona remains. You understand what I'm saying? Or whatever that proof. And that, it's a mashma that I can hear, because it's Misha Sakona Ve'elach, even after the Sakona's gone, the Sakona's long gone, but women no longer need to produce kitten. They don't keep them nowadays, right? And a Baal Chov can collect without prusbul. It sounds like they don't need a prusbul. He just has to claim that a prusbul is written. So even though the Sakona's passed, whatever Takona or uprooting of the Takona took place during the Sakona continues on thereafter.
There's no call about the get. People will know that she got the get.
Well, even Yeah, shimush, right. She doesn't have to, so even shimush doesn't have to produce it. But here, he concedes that he got the, that there was a get. That was, I don't think that's the issue here. Okay? Rabbi Chaim Sherman just says, he says he paid. Rabbi Chaim Sherman said, HaKori Ara Maisa Basin. If somebody says, cries foul on Maisa Basin, meaning that he says, I'm not liable to pay my wife Ksuva because I paid already. He doesn't have witnesses, but he claims he paid, right? So, local man, he doesn't have the right to do so. Because Maisa Basin means something which Basin has produced, and therefore he's liable to, the liability lays upon him, unless he can prove otherwise, basically like a Motzi Mechaver Lav Araya. If Basin has levied against you Ksuva, or which is called the Maisa Basin, because they enacted it, so then you can't get out of it unless you have proof. Amar Le Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Chiya Bar Abba said, hey, v'lo masnisi, isn't that our Mishnah? It says, explicitly, otzi a get v'enim o ksuva. If you produce the get without a ksuva, go v'ksuva. So obviously you don't need the actual written ksuva. Producing the get is sufficient. Amar Le Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said to this fellow who was speaking here, just forget, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, he said, Bavlaya! No, it's coming, right? You Babylonian, you! Mean the galis la chas with Margalisa. Since I already took off from you the pot shard from the pearl at Amarli velomas nisoi. From that day, you're going to tell me, well, isn't there a Mishnah? No, you never understood the Mishnah until I told you this, right? It's only required me to point out to you this principle that after Maisa Basin, he needs a raya in order to exempt himself from Maisa Basin. Only then did you understand the Mishnah in that light. So thank me for giving you the key to understanding the Mishnah. Okay? Says Rav Amar, Rav said, there's only place in a true place where they don't write a ksuva. In other words, you argue with Rabbi Yochanan. He said, the only time where she produces a get without a ksuva, we believe her, is in a city where they don't write a ksuva. But a place where they do write a ksuva, when she produces, she collects. So if she produces a get, a ksuva, excuse me, she gets a ksuva. She doesn't produce a ksuva, she doesn't get a ksuva. Then he reneged. And he said, even a place where they do write a ksuva, she collects, even though she has no ksuva with her, it, only on the basis of a get, that suffices. And Rav challenged the rest of the world. He said, Man Rav Chela, anybody who has the great strength, Masva, to ask questions on my position, Yosef, let him ask questions and try and refute me. So he said, Rav Yossi stepped to the plate, and he said, asked a question. He said, Votani, did we learn Goiva Gita? It's a brisa, which says that if a woman has her ksuva, but not her get, so we're afraid that she's going... The reason why a woman who has a ksuva without a get cannot collect based on the ksuva is we're afraid that maybe she collected based on her get already, hiding her ksuva, and now she's collecting again with her ksuva. Okay, so we're afraid. So this Brayza says, Gova Gita Matmenes Ksuvasa. So we're afraid that she's going to collect with her get, hide her ksuva, because there's the goyim, and then she's going to collect again by producing her get.
So it's the first two cases, one after the other, in the sequence.
What do you mean? Right. Otsia Geva Ema Ksuva. Right. So, 1 second.
In the Mishnah, the Baal says that he admits that.
That's right. No, we're going to the second case, though. I made a mistake, I think. Otsia Ksuva, we're going to the second case of the Mishnah. Second case of the Mishnah, the third line into the Mishnah, said fourth line from the bottom. Otsia Ksuva, if she produced the Ksuva, Veinima Get, if she has no Get, and she says she lost her get. So in that case, we said that they don't collect, right? So so here he's explaining why is that? Because we're afraid, right? Okay, where she produces her ksuva and not her get, we don't allow her to collect because we're afraid. Vatani gova gita. were afraid that she collected once with her get, umadmenes ksuvasa, and hid her ksuva at that time, the chozeres v'goiva, and now she's collecting again. Right. Okay, that's good. So we're saying like this, we're saying that she, the reason why she, when she produces her ksuva, is she cannot collect if she has no get, because we're afraid that originally she produced her get, collected money with the get, and at that point had hidden her ksuva. And now we're afraid that she's going to be reproducing her ksuva, or refinding, quote-unquote, her ksuva, and collecting again. Now, so... I'm still not sure I got the sequence right. Yeah, I got it right. One second. Okay.
So, the only difference is that here the Baal isn't saying that he isn't admitting that he gave it again. And then the Mishnah.
Yeah, but this price is explained in the Mishnah. It is explained in the Mishnah. This tie is explained in the Mishnah. Let's go to this sequentially because it's complicated. I have difficulties also when I was preparing it today. If a woman produces her ksuva, and she wants to collect, she says, I don't have a get, but here's my ksuva, I want to collect. Now imagine, a married woman could do that too. A married woman, one bright morning, could take her ksuva, which of course she has, and say, well, here's my ksuva, I don't have a get, but I want to collect, right? Mm-hmm. We don't allow her to do that. Why don't we allow her to do that? Because afraid the next day she's going to go and produce her get and collect the get, right? So that means a woman with a ksuv without a get, we don't allow to collect. So I ask the Rabbi Yosef is really asking, well, let's say the opposite too. If a woman produces a get without a ksuva, let's be afraid that she's hiding her ksuva to produce it tomorrow, I mean, sometime down the line, and collect a second time. So it's a question on Rav. Rav said, we always say, even a place where people normally write a ksuva, if she lost her ksuva and produced a get, that suffices to collect her ksuva. Why? Let's be afraid that she didn't really lose her ksuva, she's hiding her ksuva. And then she's going to produce it. Just like if she loses her get, if she claims she lost her get, we're afraid to eventually show that she'll produce her get again, right? So that's the Gemara's question. So says the Gemara, again, he's going to be asking, but Tani Kova Gita, Umatmenes Ksuvah, so we're afraid that now she's going to produce, she's producing her get, and here I am Ksuvah, Hoseres Vakoiva, we're afraid, I'm sorry, that when she produces her Ksuvah now, and claims she lost her get, eventually she's going to reverse it, right? And she's going to eventually, she's hired Ksuvah, and will eventually produce it again. So it says, Gemara, Ein Shom, Basin. I understand. Why are you afraid of that happening? Basin will make sure it doesn't happen. Of course it's not going to happen. There's a basin in the city. They'll make sure it doesn't happen. They'll make sure she doesn't collect twice. So it says, Gemara, Ein Shom, Basin. I'm sorry, Binam Dematsu. Sorry about what we're afraid the Basin Ray died. All members of Basin were poisoned. So therefore, they're not there to regulate. But ain't trying to aid them, aren't there aid them that you already collected and they'll make sure she doesn't collect twice? Says more, Havu, let's say it's talking about a case with Shalchan the Islam, but the aid them are gone. Ain't Shom Amugaya? Is there no Amugaya, meaning don't they write a shoiver there? Don't they write a receipt? Says Gemara, lace, which should be lace lay l'rav. It's a question. Lace the Rav Amugaya, and you're going to say that Rav doesn't hold the writing receipts. Of course, Rav holds the writing receipts. Is Rav Amugaya? Cain the Mar, like Rav holds the writing receipts. Cain the Mar, like that, which he said. I think that is the answer ready. One second. Yeah, this is the answer ready. So says Mar. Okay, the Mar thing is. Okay, at this point, the Mora is asking a question. The Mora's question is, let's write a receipt. Let's write for the husband a receipt. In other words, where we're collecting based on a get which she produced, or a ksuva which she produced. We're afraid she'll produce a get later on. So let's make sure to give the husband a receipt. And by giving a receipt, he'll be able to fend off any, you know, any fraudulent claims against him, right? Because he'll have a receipt from his wife. They actually gave her a ksuba.
So the receipt's lost.
What?
They can answer the receipt is lost, or the husband's not around.
But that's his responsibility already. Okay, so it says more, is Rav Amugaya, Rav indeed does hold the receipts. And that's precisely the difference here, as we'll explain momentarily. Kehain, Demar, like that which he said, Avar Kartison, if a person who's a lender loses his shtar, according to Gilead Ephraim, Avar Chorin, then his debtor, if a creditor loses a document, then his creditor becomes a free man. Okay, creditor. So we see here that we don't write in these cases a shovar, a receipt, by a regular loan. Because regular loan, we don't write a receipt, because if we write a receipt by a regular loan, then even if the guy lost his document, let him be able to collect, and he'll say that. We'll give Adim afterwards. We'll give a shover a receipt that he paid. Obviously, if we don't collect, that means it must be we don't rely on a receipt. Again, you have a case where a creditor loaned money to a borrower, right? The document got lost. Creditor has Adim. He comes to demand the money. The debtor denies it, right? The debtor doesn't have to pay. Why not? Why does he have to pay?
Because he doesn't have the document.
Right, so let him pay based on the aid. Yeah. So he says, we're afraid that later on he's going to produce the document and collect the second time. So let's write a shover. So that's so the most question. So let's write a receipt. So they don't write receipts on regular documents. Alright, if that's the case, why do we write receipts on ksuvas? That's more of a counter question. It's not phrased properly here, but so why do we write receipts on ksuvas?
Going to Rav. Trust women less than they trust lenders.
No. And I'm a more interesting story. Write receipts on ksuvas because a ksuva you must write over and again no matter what. If a guy loses his shtar chov, he'll say tough luck. You lost your shtar chov. It's true we have Adim, but since we know you had a shtar chov, we lost it tough on you. But by a ksuva, we can't say to a woman tough luck. Why can't we say to a woman tough luck by a ksuva? You lost the tough luck. Why can't we say that?
He's got a few
derisive. Isha below ksuva also asura kanida. A woman's got to have a ksuva. So therefore, you always must, if your wife is a trabik shlamazel and she loses her ksuva every Monday and Thursday, then every Tuesday and Friday, you got to write her a new ksuva. Unless you don't want to have relations with her, right? So that you must write your wife. The wife always got to have a ksuva. So you must, the Rav concedes that by a regular bill of loan there are no receipts, but by a ksuva there have to be receipts. Why? Because regular bill of loan, so say tough, but a ksuva, if you say tough, it's tough on him because he won't be able to live with his wife anymore. Now, so that's true. So therefore, that's actually Rav's answer to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi asked him a question. It's really not explained properly in the Gemara here. Rabbi Yossi asked him a question. He said, a woman who produces her get and not her ksuva. No, the other way. A woman produces her ksuva and not her get. So he said, we're afraid. Okay, a woman produces her ksuva, not her get. So he said, we're afraid that she's going to eventually produce her ksuva again. And we therefore don't let her collect with the get. Because then it'll come out she's collecting twice. Once with the get, once with the ksuva. So that's a braisa that explains the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yossi asked the Rav, so how can you say that a woman produces the other way, produces a get and not a ksuva, can collect. Let's be afraid that she's going to produce her ksuva eventually and collect again. Rav's answer to that is that no, by ksuvas, you're darn right she's got a ksuva somewhere. And we certainly are afraid she's going to produce her ksuva. And we assume she has a ksuva, because she probably lost her ksuva while she was still hunky-dory with her husband. And her husband Taka probably wrote her another ksuva. So therefore, there's only one eitzah by ksuva, to write a receipt. So now, if she collects, based on the get, we write a receipt. And he just has to keep the receipt to make sure that if she ever comes up with a ksuva again, so he'll have what to fend it off with. But if now she produces a ksuva, right, and she and he collects now, right, based on this, so, okay, we're afraid that in the future she's going to produce a get without a ksuva. And there, you'll say, we wrote a shover, we wrote a receipt, right? Because when she produced a ksuva, we wrote a receipt. Yeah, true, we wrote a receipt when she produced a ksuva. But later on, when she produces a get, we're afraid that at that point, he will have lost the receipt and will have no choice but to pay the get. Now, I'm not explaining the last point. I didn't explain properly. Let me explain it properly. The contrast: where first she produces a get, and then she produces a ksuva. We're afraid she's going to produce a ksuva later on. First she produces a get and says, "Pay me my ksuva because I have a get." So there we have no choice anyway but to write a shover. What else are we going to do? She might come out. She is megureshes. She does deserve a ksuva, right? The next year she'll produce a ksuva. We have no choice. We'll have to write her a shover. But if she produces today, the opposite case, she just produces her ksuva without a get. So then we say, okay, in this case, I'm not going to pay you until you prove you're actually megureshes. Bring me a get to prove that you're divorced, and then I'll pay you the ksuva. Did I make that clear? Again, depends what order she comes in. No matter what, we have to work with the assumption of shavarim, with receipts by ksuva, because we're afraid she has multiple ksuvas hidden in her attic from all the time she lost it, right? But if she produces first a get, and then we're afraid she's going to produce a ksuva later on, so we write a receipt. We say, you got your get. We write him a receipt. We say, you paid it up. And then later on, we hope for the best, right? That either she won't produce a ksuva, or if she does, at least he has a receipt. But if all she produced the first time around was a ksuva, so he say, hey, lady, any woman can produce a ksuva, right? You prove you're divorced. And that'll say that that's a much better safeguard. So that's basically what Rav answers Rav Yossi. You ask me, well, if we're in a case where she produces a ksuva, we don't let her collect until she produces the get. So let's say in a case where she produces the get, let's not let her collect until she produces a ksuva. No, the difference is based on receipts. We always write receipts by ksuvas. And therefore, if she collects with the get, we'll write a receipt, and we'll hope that he keeps the receipt for the next time around. But in a case where all she produces is a ksuva, not a get, in that case we have no need to submit to her. We'll say, produce proof that you actually are divorced, and only then we'll pay your ksuva. Okay? All right. So let's say this again. Is Rav Amogai, Rav does hold of Shavarim. Kehen Damar, Ovar Kardison. Like it says, if a person loses Shtar Chov, Ovar Chayrin. Okay, that's too bad. You know, if you knew it, then his credentor's off the hook, right? But Islay, when is a case where Rav holds we do write Shavarim, kihi da kihi, it should be kihi, kihi, Dhamra. In a case where she says, Yavad Purna, Avad Chorin. In like our case over here, where if she says she lost the ksuva, we have to make another one. So therefore, who knows how many ksuvas we have? So therefore, over here, we have to rewrite receipts. Okay, so the bottom line is, we write receipts for a woman in a case where we write receipts for the man. Not for the woman. We're writing receipts for the man in a case where we're afraid of multiple ksuvas. So that's why a ksuva, we can deal with receipts, and that's why when she produces first her get, and then a ksuva, we pay her, and then we hope for the best that he'll keep his receipt. In a case of a baal chov, we don't write receipts. We say tough luck. Because in a ksuva, we have to normally write receipts. We have to rewrite ksuvas in order that they should be able to live together. But by shtar, you lose your shtar, tough luck. Okay? In a case where, however, she produced first her ksuva, and only we're afraid later on she'll produce a get and collect again, in that case we say, until you produce a get, you don't even collect the first time. Hey, si Raibo. Raibo asked, instead of da'atayin, it should be tehei. Utehei gova begita, let her collect with her get, umatmenes ksuvasa, and let her hide her ksuva, umatmenes achiyomus, and let her wait until her ex-husband dies, because there's a goiva. And then she would be afraid that she's going to collect again from the assignment, from the orphans. In other words, the father will know to produce his receipt, but what are the orphans going to be able to produce? So says the Gemara, Amarle Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef said a very interesting thing, which I don't think is in the Bible at all. It says, if a woman wants to collect after the death of her husband, is it not upon her lohavi raya to bring proof that she was serving him? I don't know if that's a euphemism or literal, right? If she was serving him until he died. In other words, in that case, you're right. We would suspect that there was something here, some monkey business going on, that maybe actually she got her ksuva earlier. In that case, we wouldn't automatically give the ksuva. If she collected with a get, and then later on her husband died, and then she produced a ksuva, we'd say, well, bring proof that you were still with him after the original get, you were taken back, or whatever the case may be, and that you have rights to later on. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Zia, Rabbi Avunah Shem Rav said, b'makom shekoysim shtar ksuva, who, in a case for the right ksuva, a place where the right ksuva. Who am I ksavti? He says, I wrote. The omer lo kasavt, lo kasavto. And she says, you did not write. Ole lovi raish lo kasav. She has to bring proof that he didn't write a ksuva in order to collect based on the parameters of maisa basin. Otherwise, unless she has the document, she doesn't collect. In a place where they don't write a ksuva, he says he did write. The omer lo kasavto. And she says, you didn't write. All of the Avirayas being proved that in that case he did write a ksuva. Rabbi Chia Barabba, Ashkach Pruzbula de Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Chia Barabba found the Pruzbul of Rabbi Yonason lying in the street, Rabbi Yonason's Pruzbul, which allowed him to collect this deed, that's after Shemitah. Vava Pari, he ran, Maitan wanted to give it to him. Armalese says, thank you, but Leza Natarachle. Thank you, but I don't need it. The Taiki also learned this in Hebrew, so Namana Malva Lomar, lenders believe to say, instead of Shtar Zeprativ, it should be Prusbul Hoyali, I had a Prusbul Krativ and I ripped it up because of Sagora. Rabbi Yerushim, Rabbi Chia said, because it's after Shasta Sagora, I should say, even if it was Sagora. And Rabbi Yerushim, Rabbi Chia said, Mazisa Amrakein, our mission teaches us that. It says, Mina Sagora Veilch, from the danger and on, Ha'isha Gova Shlo Beget, A woman collects without her get, because we just assume she was divorced, while chov gova shlo b'pruzbul, and a creditor collects without a pruzbul. V'avshar kein, is it possible like this, that he collects without a pruzbul, that sounds like he collects without a pruzbul at all, that doesn't make any sense. Rather means it should be ela ki baltivu krativ. It says, I got the pruzbul, but then I ripped it up afterwards. And hocha, here too, it's about ksavtiv. I wrote it up, ukrativ, and then I had to rip it up afterwards, and that's sufficient in this case, because we believe him after Shas Hakana that that's what he did. Okay, shnei gittin v'shnei ksuvas. You have two gittin and two ksuvas. A woman produces two gittin and two ksuvas. So gova shnei ksuvas, she gets two ksuvas. We say she was married, divorced, married again, divorced again, and each ksuvas from a separate marriage. Okay? Beis ksuvas we get if she produces two ksuvas and one get. O ksuva shnei gittin or two, one ksuva and two gittin. O ksuva v'get umiso, or ksuva, her husband's divorce and then her husband's death. Ain't a gova el ksuva, she only gets one ksuva. Why is that? Shemagarish is ishto, if somebody divorces his wife, Machziran takes her back, Amanas ksuvasa rishoina kichzira. Then he takes her back on the conditions of the original ksuva. So there, unless you find explicitly a second ksuva, we assume she only gets one ksuva, even if he can prove conclusively that he was married to her, divorced her, and then remarried her, it doesn't matter, she still only gets one ksuva. Why is that? Because normally we say that unless you explicitly give her the magnanimous gesture of a new ksuva, you only one ksuva between your two marriages to her. The first ksuva rolls over to the second marriage. Okay? It says in Mishnah further, a boy was married off by his father to a girl, which of course is not a valid kiddushin. Ksuvas akemis, nevertheless, whatever ksuva they wrote when he was a cotton, it's valid. Shamanas kein kimwa, because when he grows up and has relations to her for the first time as an adult, that's a binding transaction. Kiyashin is gayer, a ger who converted, v'ishto imo, and his wife with him. Ksuvas akemis, interesting halacha. Her ksuva is maintained, whatever it was when she was a goy. Shamanas kein kimwa, because he keeps her on that condition only, that as a giyorah, she's not going to suffer from her bottom line more than she would have as a shiksa. Okay? I guess so. That's what it says. It probably nixi milogos, it's on barza, whatever it was. Vushia get yetzi miksuva l'ksuva. Says the Gemara, it's only true that which the, she gets two ksuvas, is where you have a ksuva, then a get, and then another ksuva from the second marriage. Akinu mishavos. This makes sense where the ksuvas were equivalent. Hay bezuman of zumasim. What if the two ksuvas were different? One divorce, but two ksuvas. And one was bezuman of zumasim. One is $100 and one is $200. Rabbuna Rabbi Yimri al Chisda. Chayra one says, Goyve Barishoina. She collects with the first one. V'chorono Amar. The other one says, Goyva, and here the Kormei transcription says, Goyva Mone. Goyva Mona. Mizman Rishon. He collects the primary part of the ksuva. She collects the primary part of the ksuva from the first marriage. Vatosev is Goyva Mizman Shosnia. The additional amount, which she collects from the time of the second ksuva. So, in other words, we're talking about property which became obviously nechasim shubarim or is under lien to somebody else in some other way or shape or form. So therefore, the halacha is that he gets she can collect, I should say, for the minimal amount from the first ksuva from sales which took place after that first date, and the additional amount she gets only from the second time. Goyim and Mona meets Zmana Rishrena from the first time. But the service and dish amount Goyim and Min Zmana Shoshnia Omar only collects from the second time. Okay? The first Suva says $100. Second Suva says $200. So we say $100 she can collect from the time, she can collect from the time of the first Suva. The additional amount, the extra 100, she can only collect from when? The time of the second ksuva. We're talking about from the chasim shurayim for property which her husband sold in the interim. So she has to go back and take from the customers based on what the shtar says. So the first shtar gives her the minimum, the second shtar gives her whatever's beyond that. And therefore, for the minimum amount, for the smaller amount, she can go back to the original shtar and collect from whatever was sold after that date. For the higher amount, She can only go to the people whose, to whom fields were sold after that date and collect from them, from the second date. Still not clear?
So when does she collect the 200 on the second
date? So the 200 pashas is part of the first ksuva. In fact, the Pnei Moshe ones say the 200 is obvious as far as the person was doing. The Omachos is if the about 100, 200, which are Tosefis. Okay? So when is the Machai of that? That's the Machlokas. Okay, it says Gemara. I'm Rechina Kumi Rabbi Mona. Rechina said in front of Rabbi Mona, Leisa da Amarot, don't learn from here. Do not learn from here. Said, Ahein di Yozim in Chavre, somebody who borrows money from his friend. Because of Yozim in Nei, and then borrows him again. Tzorch lo lemeimar, that he has to say to him, Levan mi kartisa karmaya disag wabach, no funny business. This is besides the first debt, this is the second debt. Doesn't have to do that. By Ksuva, it says in our Mishnah that unless he wrote to her a second one, so explicitly we assume it's all part of the same transaction. But that you can't extrapolate from that to regular loan. Why is that? Because Urchadita saw a Meymar, because by woman, as we said in Amrav, it's normal. She says, Avapurna, I lost my Ksuva, she says, Avin Choron, make me another one. So even if you have multiple Ksuvas, so what do we assume about their multiple Ksuvas? It's the result of having an irresponsible wife. But on the other hand, by Shtar Chov, you don't do that. If you find multiple Shitrei Chov, we assume that there are multiple loans. So the default assumption by Shtar Chov is multiple loans. The default assumption by Shitrei Ksuva is that all one Ksuva. Okay? Says the Gemara, Ela Ki Efshar. You know what? You borrowed from me $100 and you gave me Shtar Chov. I lost the Shtar Chov. You think it's like a Ksuva? By Ksuva, the Yankel has no choice but to write for his wife another Ksuva. Otherwise, he can't live with her. But you, right? You're my credit, my debtor, right? What do you say to me if you say, listen, I lost my Shtar Chov, you can write me another one? What do you say?
Tough.
Thumb your nose, right? Tough on you, right? So therefore, if there are two, we assume it's by default, it's two separate loans, not the same loan. So it says more, Eloki Efshar, if I lose my Shtar Chov on you, maybe, Halavai, you're a big tzaddik, maybe you'll concede. But normally they certainly will not write him another document. Rabbeinu Mashikle Oil Uvdo Kum Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Bashokli bought a Maisa in front of Rabbi Yossi by one Ksuva and two Gittin. Okay, there was one Ksuva written and two Gittin. So he said, so what was that Lacha? So he said, Lokein Amar Rabbi Yavo Shem Biyochan. Didn't Rabbi Yavo say the name Rabbi Yochan? Shtar Shalava Bo Pro. He asked him, how can the same Ksuva serve for two marriages? Don't you have a Lacha Shtar, which with you borrowed? An IOU for $200, which has been redeemed. Are you allowed to reuse it? You can't recycle it. Shtachov Shalava Bo Pro. Ayuvabo, you can't borrow with it. Afilubo Sayom, even on the same date, so the date is accurate. You can't re-borrow with it. So how can you use the same Ksuva again? Amrase said, I'll tell you, Kam Shapro. By the IOU, it's been paid back. Kam Shapro, the Ksuva's never been paid up. So therefore, you can reuse it in the second marriage. Tani Rabbi Chaim Kud Rabbi Hila. Chayim once said, "Luksuva avolot noim." When it rolls over between the first marriage and second marriage, he was married to a woman, divorced her, and then took her back. So luksuva, he said, rolls over. But that's only the ksuva itself, avolot tonight, but not the tonight ksuva. My ksuva, she loses. My ksuva, the first marriage was very romantic. Second marriage, romance is out the window. So therefore, there's no tonight ksuva. So Choramando Ben Ksuva Ben the time, whatever time when the first Ksuva roll over to the second Ksuva. Okay, getting back to the mission, Nicha Ger. I understand a Ger, he accepts upon himself the yoke or whatever he promised her as a Shiksa. But the cotton Megarish, a cotton, if a cotton's divorcing, I mean, it says when the cotton is Megarisher, first of all, how is the cotton divorce, right, that it should roll over. Rabbi Chanina says, Bushabo, you know, you're right. It's not talking about the con divorce. So obviously in that case, you can't divorce, and it really doesn't roll over because he had no das. I tell you about just like Rabbi Chanan said, "Ushabal lemishtakeach mishnishtape." So in another case, he said that the bia which makes it a true kiddushin is the one after it becomes lucid or healthy again. So here, ko ushabal lemishtakeach. To have a case where he had relations with her after they both grew up, and in that case, the first time they have relations, that's the man's whatever deal was enacted, even when he was a katan. Okay, hachlocha kesev lishta. How's a loch like this? If a woman predeceases her husband, midorites her husband just in, well, I shouldn't say midorites, mitin, her husband inherits her. But there's concept suvas bonim dichrin, which is that a husband wants his wife. If you predecease me, your money for your ksuva will go to your heirs. I won't take it. It'll go to your heirs, whatever children you have, or brothers you had, or whatever. Actually, it's children. So it's bani dichrin. Your male children will inherit whatever was coming to you. So that's an incentive for her parents to give a lot of money to the dowry. Because it won't just go to that stinking husband, it'll go to her nice children, their grandchildren, right? So it says more, what happens? So the first one dies before the second one. So Yorshir Rishon, according to Yorshir Rishon, in this case they both died either before after the husband died. So the heirs of the first woman inherit before the heirs of the second woman because she died first. She's first in line. Thus is the Rishon. What if she married the first one, Mason? She died before he did. Mason, Nasa Shni, then he married second wife, Umesu, and then he died after her, right? So Shni of Yorshir. The second woman and her heirs, claiming the Yorshir Rishon, they have preference over the first woman and her heirs. You know why? Because the second woman, she's a creditor. Because she died after him, so she's owed the ksuva. And creditors always take precedence over heirs. And the first wife's kids, they're only heirs. Heirs come after creditors. So the second wife who outlived her husband becomes a creditor. The first wife who predeceased her husband, she's only in her children who are inheriting her because of Ksuvas Bani Dichrin, they're only heirs, and they get shunted to the sidelines. Okay?
So getting the Ksuva after the death of the husband is considered not...
Priyas Baruchov.
Not an heir,
No, absolutely not. It's not inheritance. It's right. It's just paying up a debt. Okay, Masisa and Ksuva. Our mission is to talk about Ksuva. Avliya Mizonos, in terms of Mizonos, it makes no difference which wife died first. They're both equivalent, which wife married first, I should say. In Mizonos, Shtei Mishavim, they both get the same Mizonos. Ksuva Kfura. What happens if one wife is owed a Ksuva and the other wife is owed a burial? She's lying out there. Her corpse is lying out there. Mikoidim, who comes first? Ksuva Milavadim. A ksuva and a loan which is baal peh, no shibud. Who comes first? Mikoyim. Ksuva parnos et bonos. A ksuva and paying dowry for the daughters of the deceased. Mikoyim. Who comes first? Ma'anim are goyim and parnos et bonos. So at least this last question will resolve, and perhaps the other ones can be resolved based on this. If you owe that, you collect for parnos for dowry, mishubadim from property on the lien, parnos bonos kodmos, sustaining the daughters comes first, because that obviously was while the wife was still alive, but the ksuva only is after death. Mandemar even goyim parnos mishubadim, you don't collect parnos from mishubadim, and parnos bonos kodmos not considered to be a prior lien, because it's not a true lien, because you don't collect, the proof of that is that you don't collect from property which is under lien. Okay? It says Mar Lo Mar Elamesa. Now it says here she died. It only says she died. Honey's Garsha, what if she got divorced, the first wife? Kabal Chobi, she's also like a creditor, right? Because then she gets a ksuba, she's not inheriting anything, right? Kadatani, like that which learned, no say she marry woman, the Kasala Ksuba, write her ksuba, Girsha, then he divorced her, Vlona Sala Ksuba, it ain't give her ksuba, Nasa Khirsi marry another woman, the Kasala Ksuba, and then you write her ksuba. Second woman obviously didn't consult the ex-wife. And then he took back the first wife, the Kasav Loksuva, and right for her Ksuva, Aksuva Sarishoina, on top of her first Ksuva. It's a very complicated case. You married a woman, divorced her, right? Never paid her Ksuva. Married another woman in the interim. Then remarry your first woman. and promised her a second surah besides the first one, which she defaulted on. Right? So now, needless to say, what happens to you next is you drop dead. Serves you. Right. Right? So in that case, now, the ksuva of the first one, which is never paid up, precedes the ksuva of the second one. However, the second one and her heirs are come take precedence. It should be their birds this year. Lishnia shall yishoina. For the second one and the first one. Right. So the first wife's first ksuva comes before the ksuva of the second wife, which comes before the second ksuva of the first wife. It's chronological. It's really very straightforward. Okay, now we're going, again, it should be, their words busy here, it'll be, Shnia v'yarsher koidmin, l'yarsher rishoina. Now the second one has come first. Now let's talk about a case where the first wife died, then the husband died, then the second wife. Then the second wife died. Wife, husband, wife. Okay? So what happens in that case? So the heirs of the first wife should get what? Ksuvas banim dichrin, which is a rabbinic takana that they inherit the dad, the ksuv which is coming to her. But that's a form of Yerusha. The second wife's children, they're getting a bona fide ksuva, right? So now in that case, right? So what do they say? So now it should say here, it says Yerushu Shana Oimrim. It should say, so there's a lot of mistakes on this page. It should say, Im Mesa Rishana B'chayev. Im Mesa Echa M'chayev, Echa Moses from the carbonator. If one died during his lifetime, then Moses went after his death. Yicholim Yosha Rishana, the Yosha Rishana can say, Omen Yosha Shni, they say the second one. Inka B'acho, but then look, I skipped. There's Benanas Omer. I skipped the words, Omer Benanas. You see those words, Omer Benanas? So Benanas says, The heirs of the first one, say to the heirs of the second one, look, Inka Bachovatem, if you want to be like creditors, fine. Klush, you want to be that way, fine. Klush Olechem, take your stuff, Utsu, and then leave us. And we get everything else. Because we're heirs, and you're only Ksuv, Balchov. So what's Aloha when you have Balchov and heirs? Balchov comes first, but then the heirs take everything left. Right? So they kind of, we have an advantage from the fact that we're heirs. That we should get whatever's left after you take away the ksuba. V'imlav, if you're not agreeable to that, then you must relinquish your status as Bali Chov and divide with us equally. That's Benanas. Omer Akiva, Akiva says, no. B'nei Shnia Kof Tzalem Yerusha Teira. They say, no! You're mistaken! We're heirs just as much as you, plus we have a superior status. Because our mother was owed the ksuva. So it's not like you think. You think your status as heirs came first, and therefore our status is weaker, because we're only creditors. And we get whatever our credit is coming to us, and then afterwards everything goes to you. Uh-uh. We get to have our cake and eat it too. We're creditors vis-a-vis our mother's ksuva, and besides, for the other stuff, we're Yarshim with you and we split up 50-50. Okay? So that's what they said. So give us a Imneshia Kaftalem Yerushas Torah. They get, they're Yarshim Doraisa. They're even better than the first ones, because the first ones, they're Yarshim only because of the Rabbanan. Ksuvas Bain Dechus the Rabbanan. Really, the husband should have inherited anything which is coming to his wife which predeceased him. So the first ones, only Yarshim the Rabbanan. They're Yarshim Doraisa. So they certainly say we get our cake and eat it too. We get the ksuva, and then we get the Yerusha on top of that. Another ksuva, Siman v'chayzen chokin. Raimon Omar, did you guys, any of you daven yet? I didn't daven either. Okay, we'll just go a little bit late. Let's see, I'm not sure how far we can get anyway now, because it's a little bit complex. Raimon Omar, I might have said, you're up to Marv? You go start daven. I'm going to daven there too. I'll be there in a minute. This clock is not, it's not fast though. It's not slow. Ramon Amar B'Shiesham Dina Yeser Nechleku. It's only if there's at least a dollar left after this whole dispute. In other words, after they collect the ksuva, after the ksuba is collected, there's at least a dollar left. Avol im ein shem dinar yeser, but if there is an extra dinar, let's say after they collect the ksuba, the second kid, guys, there's nothing going to be left. So in that case, now you have to read the place, the carbon. Everybody changes around the gears. So skip five lines. See where bananas? See bananas? If there's nothing going to be left, so even bananas, Rabbi Akiva, bananas will greet Rabbi Akiva. The sons of the second one, they get the status of the Yerushas Torah, the Noitli Ksuva Simon, and then they get get first the Ksuva of their mother, and then the Chosim V'Chokin. They go back and they divide. Of course, there's nothing to divide, but they get first the status of Ksuva, and tough on the other ones because they're creditors, right? Now, what about Amalei Rabbi Yossi, going back now. Amalei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, Brerun, Hachtelo Tanisa Pligat, Amalei Pliga. That's that which is not mentioned in Machlokas, as a Machlokas, you make a Machlokas. El B'she'enchem Yeser Dinar Nechluku. No, the Machlokas is when there isn't an extra dinar. Avlim Yeshem Dinar Yeser Dinar, but if there is an extra dinar beyond the Ksuva, then Af, and here it should be Af Rabbi Akiva Yoida Leben. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not sure if I should actually change it. No, I better leave this to tomorrow night because I'm confused. I'll come back to my Machlokas Ben Nanas Rabbi Akiva because I'm not sure if I'm getting this right now. All right.